Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome to Hour 3 of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with us today. Hope you are doing great wherever you are quarantined. And we would love to hear from you to find out what's happening in your neighborhoods. Are you under mandatory orders to quarantine? What's happening in your supermarkets? What are your local government leaders doing? And you are the eyes and ears for us behind the microphone here at the Todd Starnes Radio Show. 844-747-8868 is our number. It is a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line from the great state of Kansas. Congressman Ron Estes joins us. Congressman, hope you're doing good.
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Todd.
Well, a lot of things happening out there. And Congressman, first, I'd like to get your reaction to some of the measures being taken in places like Virginia and in Florida, where a pastor was arrested for holding a worship service. You've got many leaders calling for gun stores to be closed. It's as if our civil liberties are under assault right now.
It really is coming out like that in a lot of ways. And unfortunately, this is unprecedented times. And some people are taking some extreme measures in terms of going through this. We need to make sure that at the end of the day, we still make sure we make that we're safe from the health issues, but also maintain our liberties going forward.
That does seem to be the balancing act, and clearly a lot of folks have fallen into the safety net, if you will, and that's troubling. But beyond that, I mean, they say this virus is spreading. It's highly contagious. MIT now says you can get it if you're 27 feet around somebody. What are you hearing up on Capitol Hill? What kind of information can you share with us, Congressman?
So I can tell a little bit. I mean, we went back last week to have the vote on the third bill, which was the CARES bill. But basically, it's the third stimulus bill. The first one focused on actually medical treatment, focused on more testing capabilities, focused on more funding for the antiviral treatments, as well as funding for vaccines. The second bill focused on sick leave and family leave, so that people who were sick could still not feel like they had to go to work, and they could stay home and take care of themselves and not spread to it. And then this third bill last week was focused on how do we make sure that we get workers and businesses through this unprecedented illness, this pandemic that we're working through, and making sure that the businesses are viable going through that process. And that's a big piece with such a shutdown that we've got right now.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about the economy and the small businesses, Congressman. What are you hearing from small business owners there in Kansas?
So we're talking a lot. Kansas is one of those states. Our governor, effective yesterday on Monday, instituted a statewide ban and basically a stay-at-home order through that process. And so one of the things that leading up to that, we focused on how do we make sure that it's consistent across the state so that businesses that were deemed essential, businesses that needed to continue to operate, would have the capability to do so. And so when I've talked to chamber folks, when I've talked to healthcare providers, a lot of their focus is looking at this CARES Act, the third bill that we passed, and looking at how they can use loans to help them, particularly small businesses, get through the next several weeks and get to the point where they're still a viable business, and also help make sure that their employees are treated as well as possible, whether they can keep them on or whether they have to lay them off, so that the employees are ready to go back to work when we get past and over the the top of the curve, if you will, and get back to the other side of this.
Yeah, I think the challenge here, Congressman, is when that's going to be. You know, the governor of Virginia says it's going to be June. You've got South Florida quarantined until mid-May. I mean, is there a point, I don't know if it's June or August or October, and we're still under quarantine, is there a point where, you know, you as a congressman have to say, wait a second, folks, this is not working. We can't be under quarantine indefinitely.
You're right. I mean, this can't go on forever. I mean, we as a country can't exist doing that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of unknown in terms of how to go through this process with the virus. And so there's a lot of folks that are just throwing projections out there without real basis, in fact, on some of those. And that's why you have one governor saying something through May, one saying through the end of April, one saying into June. It obviously is not the right mix that we need in terms of being able to make good rational decisions. And so I'm more of a let's focus on primarily the day-to-day, but let's also make sure that we do short-term gaps, and let's look at 2 and 3 and 4 week periods instead of trying to make a projection of we're going to shut down everything for the next several months. That just doesn't make sense for us as a country.
Are you hearing from business leaders saying, you know, they're coming to you and saying, Congressman, if we don't get things opened up by X, we're going to have to shut down our businesses. Are you starting to hear those conversations?
So we're really not hearing set dates from businesses right now. Right now, a lot of the businesses are diving in to what the options that they can take advantage of in this CARES Act, the third bill that we passed, because that allows them so many options to help maintain the viability of their business. And whether they want to look at, we've looked at different options of whether they wanted to have tax credits or whether they wanted to have a loan that could be forgivable for a short period of time if they kept employees on so that their employees would be cared for. And so in the most part, businesses right now are kind of digging into what are their options, what's the best way that they have to keep the business going so that there's jobs that people can come back to after we get through the health crisis that we're in.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate you giving us some insight here, and hope you guys in the heartland are staying safe.
Well, we're focusing on it, and we're doing our best. And I just want to thank all our healthcare providers that are on the front lines of this battle, helping take care of all of us right now, and making sure that we've got the right health and the right economic support for the country.
Well said. Well said. All right. Congressman Ron Estes, ladies and gentlemen, from the great state of Kansas, represents the Wichita area, and a good man right there. It's going to be tough. And I am curious, if you are a business owner, have you been able to sort of, you know, I don't know, sketch this out? What does this look like for you as a business owner? Where is the date that you've got to get back? Got to get back to work? 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Maysville, North Carolina. Jason listening to us on the talk station there. Hi, Jason. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. This is the coffee guy that you met here with Ben Ball and all them down here at Morehead City that one
yes,
time.
Yes, yes. I remember. Terrific coffee, by the way.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I appreciate it. I'm calling in as a small business owner. I'm definitely taking a hit far as a small business like so many around in this area. Unfortunately, some of the businesses that took a hit with Hurricane Florence just opened up just to shut back down again. So this is definitely affecting us hard. I don't have a staff of two people, including myself, which I've let go in the meantime because they're at what they consider a high-risk factor through all of this. So it's just me and the roastery. I'm trying to keep up. I'm having a hard time getting supplies in due to delays and such as that. Sales are still good with the coffee bags. I'm able to get them in. But I shut down the concession trailer because doing my part of, you know, stop the spread, so to speak. So my wife and I, we decided to, you know, shut down the concession trailer part of it. But there are some food trucks that are still trying to make it. All the small businesses here in the area of Eastern North Carolina, they're really trying to keep their heads up above water.
Yeah, I have to imagine that's the way it is all over the country, Jason. And what is it that you want to hear from your government? I mean, are you guys in this for the long haul, or are you looking at a pretty dire situation?
I'm hoping to keep the lights on. From Governor Cooper, who's our governor, I'm not happy with the executive order that he passed down for the state. It's too relaxed, too slack. If they're really trying to curve, if this is a legit thing, if this is contagious as they're talking about it is, he's pretty much made everything essential where you can go out, you can still get your supplies. People still go to the Walmart, touch everything on the shelves. I'm grabbing food out of a takeout place, and people hand me, stuff without new gloves on. I'm wearing gloves just precautionary because, I have two children at a high risk level of this as well. So I feel honestly, Todd, that the governor really needs to be more strict, because he issued this order on a Friday afternoon, and it took effect yesterday, Monday at 5 p.m. Gave everybody from the Raleigh area, Charlotte area, wherever they wanted to come down to the coast and try to enjoy the weekend before the shutdown. And that didn't make sense to me. If it's a legit virus that, they're talking about, they're concerned, it was so slack of the executive order. And I'm just waiting to see what the end's going to look like.
That is an interesting point. Again, if this thing is as contagious, and clearly it is, so let me rephrase that. So we know it's contagious. All right, Jason. So if we knew, right, we knew that from day one, I guess that they all knew it from day one, because that's what they were telling us. And to your point, if the idea was to flatten the curve, why not just go ahead and do a nationwide shutdown and get it over with? Because right now the airlines are still flying people. I could hop on an airplane right now and I could fly to Memphis, Tennessee, and from New York City. And I mean, I'm not going to do that. But again, you're right. People are not taking it seriously. And yesterday you had hundreds and hundreds of New Yorkers out there looking at the hospital ship coming into port.
Well, I've seen several New Yorkers down here this week, and I've seen, yes, Maine lights in place, Massachusetts this week. We went to a small spot on the river down here, the Wildlake River, just to get away for a little bit, get the kids some fresh air and all. And dang off, it wasn't crowded. Our beaches were crowded. It doesn't make sense. It should have been a national shutdown. If this is severe, as they say it is, from the get-go, it should have been a national shutdown.
Agreed.
And go ahead and get it over with, and we rebuild from there. Not this, drizzling out of here and there and restrictions here finally and there finally. Shut it down. Let's get it over with and get our life and economy back together.
It's a valid point you raised there, Jason. And I was I'm calling up a text message here to find out when I actually did this. Several weeks back, I reached out to some pretty well-known medical people trying to figure out how bad this is. Because again, we have we're an entertainment-driven conservative talk radio show. All right, so we come at things from a very specific perspective. But where is this text message? This goes all the way back to February when I started asking, is this a big deal? Should we be concerned? And even back in February, there was really not much concern among the medical experts. And I communicate with some pretty big medical experts. So again, if it really was such a big deal, they should have told us from day one, and you're right, shut everything down. Put a stop to
it. Yes, sir.
All right.
Exactly.
Jason, a delicious coffee. Where can folks give us your web address? Because it's great coffee you guys put out.
I appreciate the time. I didn't call in for that, but it's crotancoffee.com. And if you do decide to order, it will be a delay. It's going to get put it on out there because it's only me right now working in the shop. So I'll try to get to it as soon as I can. But one more thing, Todd, if you talk about Senator John Kennedy, tell him I love that guy. I love that guy. That guy is funny, and I know you're able to talk to these guys more, but I wish he was my senator. That's all I got to say, man.
Well, thank you, Jason. Hang tight, and I'll pass along the message there. February 26th, by the way. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host.
Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Caleb, guess what just happened during the commercial break? I've got to tell you about this.
What?
So we've been dealing all day. This has sort of been happening in real time. These attacks from NBC News and the New York Times coming after your host. And so I reached out to NBC News demanding an apology and a retraction. No, not an apology, a retraction and a correction. You know they're not going to apologize. So here's what the managing editor wrote, or this is the senior tech, science, and climate editor. He's in charge of the reporters who wrote the story. He said, "We've reviewed the article with your concerns." And oh, you know what? I should read what I wrote the guy, okay? I said, "Thank you for reaching back out to me. I'm a bit frustrated that I was pulled into the coronavirus hoax story. Anyone who listens to my radio program knows very well I've been urging people to take the situation seriously. And I also mentioned that in the video. There are two, one video on my Facebook, the other on Twitter. It was very clear in my video the intent was to push back against the media narrative that New York City had been turned into some sort of dystopian society." And blah, blah. And so I go on and on. I just kind of lay it all out there for them. I said, "I would appreciate either a clarification or a correction. I would also like to thank you for responding to my complaint. That shows a lot of integrity on your part." I was very polite, was I not?
Sounds polite to me.
So the guy responds, "Jason so-and-so here. I work with Brandy and edited the piece. We've reviewed the article with your concerns and do not agree they warrant any correction or update. I appreciate you reaching out and your concerns here. Our piece shows your tweet jump-started this conspiracy theory, which went far and wide, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for your reasonable and respectful notes." And I replied, "I am deeply troubled by your response. You and I both know exactly what the reporters did. It was incredibly unprofessional. I am not a litigious person. However, I'm afraid it might be best to let our legal counsel sort this out. My attorney will be in touch with NBC's legal department. He will also be in touch with both reporters. I intend to pursue legal action against both of them personally. I would expect this kind of reporting from MSNBC, but certainly not NBCNews.com. Kindly, Todd Starnes."
Well, at least you were nice.
So I thought that was going to be it, but they replied. They responded.
Ooh.
And they're sort of backing down. "Mr. Starnes, I've discussed the situation with our managing editor. We maintain that the story is accurate, but feel it would be responsible to update the story with a response from you. Based on your previous emails, I was going to state that you said your intention was to push back against the media narrative, blah, 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 blah. And you disputed, but that you have not disputed the seriousness of the coronavirus pandemic. Please let me know if that accurately reflects your response."
So does it?
I think so. I'm okay with it, but they still have to correct this. They're trying to portray me as some sort of like Alex Jones. No disrespect to Alex Jones, but that's what they're trying to do. And that's just not right. That's just not right at all. All right, folks, got to take a break. Franklin Graham is coming up, and Lord knows we need some religion on this program today. Franklin Graham, excited to be talking with him. They're doing some great work here in New York City. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Stifle a sneeze. I don't want people to think I've got the coronavirus. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. It's the dust. It's the pollen. By the way, Hyde Park, which is a neighborhood in Los Angeles, police called out to break up a little girl's birthday party. This is terrible. They had about 30 or 40 people at a private home having a birthday party for a little girl. And the police said, not allowed to do that. That's against the law.
Ma'am, put down the birthday cake.
back away from the pinata. By the way, I understand we have some breaking news out of Georgia.
Yeah, we just got this release from Brian Kemp, the governor here, said over the next few weeks they're going to be deploying the Georgia National Guard to any nursing home that has a confirmed coronavirus case. For example, they're citing there's one in Pelham, Georgia, which is southwest Georgia. They apparently have five cases confirmed in that nursing facility in southwest Georgia. So in the next couple of weeks, apparently the state of Georgia is going to be deploying National Guardsmen to those any nursing home that has a case.
Well, let's go to the newsmaker line, check on our good friend Jeffrey Lord. The National Guard's not out in front of your house yet, are they, Jeffrey?
No, but I am definitely confined to mine.
My
Without
word.
Doubt. The governor of Pennsylvania issued a shelter-at-home order for Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, which is where I live. We are right across the river, the Susquehanna River, from Harrisburg, a.k.a. Dauphin County, and that, too, has been declared that, you know, we all have to stay home. You can go to the – they put out a list. We can go to the grocery store or the doctor, but there's not much more beyond that that you can do.
Are you – Jeffrey, are you kind of getting a little concerned about all of this? I mean, at what point do you say, yeah, you know what, we're not going to stay in our house anymore?
Yeah, well, I worry that people will get a little stir crazy here. And, you know, this is I live in suburbia. And one of the things I've noticed is there's an uptick in people taking walks in the neighborhood. Because, of course, if you belong to a gym, as I do, which is not far from here, it's closed and should be closed, I might add, under the circumstances. So it is a little... It is a little concerning. On the amusing side, Todd, we have what we call a state store system in Pennsylvania, which means they're run by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, by the government. The governor has ordered them all shut. Well, Pennsylvanians who live close to New Jersey have been raiding New Jersey liquor stores.
Bootleggers.
Exactly right. You can't make it up.
Wow, that's brilliant. Look, desperate times, Jeffrey Lord. You know, it is.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it is interesting when you look at these attacks on some of the civil liberties. And look, these churches, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says, you know what, if you're still meeting, we're going to shut down your church or synagogue and we'll permanently close it. You got the guy, the sheriff down in Tampa that arrested the megachurch preacher, threw him in jail. You got the Second Amendment under attack. Are you concerned about these attacks on civil liberties at the state level?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And I'm an active member of my church. And, you know, it's a United Church of Christ, which at the national level is quite left-leaning. But individually, it's the old congregational church, and every individual church runs itself. The members run the church. And we decided, you know, to be prudent about this because we have a lot of older members. And so we just, you know, shut our doors for a couple weeks to see how this goes. And I think what we're going to do is the first Sunday in April, which is coming up, I think we're going to convene church in our cars. The minister will be outside somewhere with a microphone.
I think it's a terrific thing, like drive-in church. You know, that's remember Robert Schuller back in the day. That's how That's how he got his start in Southern California.
That's exactly right. It was a drive-in theater. That is right. And, yeah, I think that's a great idea for people. And, you know, you just have to innovate. But, you know, at least in this sense, it's coming from the members of the church themselves who are making this decision, not the government. I'm told that right before I got on with you, I was looking at a news story that says the mayor of Washington, D.C. has threatened to arrest anyone who goes outside their house. Nancy Pelosi, be warned.
Well, you know, and the mayor in Memphis, Tennessee, we have a lot of people listening to us on KWAM down there. He's shutting down the basketball courts and the doggy parks. You can't go walk, you know, Fido. You just can't do that anymore.
Well, you know, I saw an amusing little picture the other day of somewhere, and I want to say it was, I don't know whether it was George, I forget where it was, but the point of it was the owners had trained their dog to take wine curbside to customers. I guess they own a liquor store or whatever. And there's a picture of this dog with a satchel and a bottle of wine heading out to the car.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
So I sent a note to one of my younger cousins. She and her husband have a dog named Jasper. And I said, well, so what is Jasper waiting for? Didn't he get the memo?
You know, President Trump, he's been doing a pretty good job lately. And these afternoon press conferences, I think, bring a lot of calm to the country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think they're very good, which is why, of course, people like Don Lemon and at CNN and people in the Washington Post want to shut them down. You know, the American people in a crisis moment like this, particularly like this, need to see the president in action. And you and I have long had a favorable impression of him, but people watching this, it's interesting when you see the polls now that 60% of the people, I think it was a Gallup poll, think he's doing a good job, and he is doing a good job. I mean, he is good at, you know, management and all of this, and standing there with all of these medical professionals, scientific professionals, and letting them have their say and taking questions endlessly. I mean, seems to me, Todd, I remember a time when the White House press corps was complaining that there were no press briefings.
It's a good point.
And all of a sudden now there are journalists out there saying, no, shut it off. I mean, he just stands there and takes one question after another. So,
Could you imagine Joe Biden standing up there that long?
Oh, my. You know, even I am beginning to feel sorry for Democrats, Todd, which takes a lot. I think that they're stuck with him. They can't get him out. And they all know that this is not going to end well. You know, he's just not up to the task. And, you know, it just from a political perspective, I know, as do you, that at a certain point when you are running for president in a primary situation, you begin to get enough delegates so that it's mathematically impossible for someone to upend you. So unless he decides on his own to get out, I think they're stuck.
And I know they're talking about Cuomo, but honestly, Jeffrey, we did a little research yesterday on the show. He was personally responsible for shutting down one of the larger hospitals in Brooklyn. And, you know, the Democrats in this state have been what shut down 16 hospitals in this state since 2003. And when you look at his handling of the crisis, I'm not quite sure why his approval ratings are so high, because Trump's the one doing all the work.
Yeah. Well, I think in Cuomo's case, it's because he's, you know, outside of New York, he's not really known. You know, I mean, he's a Cuomo, and I think more people know Brother Chris than they do Brother Andrew. So, you know, he's the fresh face in the media, you know, gloms onto it and all of that kind of thing. But, you know, if he ever did seriously run for president, there would be seriously inspection to follow. I think he would have a problem. You know, one of the things that I wrote about at my The Jeffrey Lord site the other day, there is Andrew Cuomo lecturing the president, you know, about opening, you know, the economy and all of this sort of thing, and that no life is expendable. And I went back and took you know, notice that he is the governor who just recently signed an abortion bill in New York that extends all sorts of abortion things. And for him to be saying no life is expendable, apparently it is in New York.
Yeah, indeed. Jeffrey, we're going to have to leave it there. Got to take a break. Godspeed to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Stay safe.
TheJeffreyLord.com, ladies and gentlemen. Check out his great work. Franklin Graham coming up next.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
To the Todd Starnes radio show. Want to go right to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. And we are just really honored to have Franklin Graham with us from Samaritan's Purse. They have set up a field hospital. It's incredible, state-of-the-art field hospital in Central Park here in New York City. Franklin, great to have you with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Why don't you give our listeners an idea of what you guys are doing and what your role is here in New York City during the crisis?
Well, first of all, we've been asked to bring in our field hospital. We always keep at least two of these in stock. We sent 3 weeks ago one of them to Italy, to Cremona, and we've set up there. This is the hottest area for the virus in Europe right now. And then we were asked by New York to come and bring our other hospital. And so that's why we've set it up at Mount Sinai, across Mount Sinai Hospital in Central Park on the East Meadow. It's at 98th and 5th Avenue. We've got a great working relationship with Mount Sinai. We're working under them. They'll bring the patients over to us, and we'll take care of them. This is a state-of-the-art field hospital. It's the same thing that the U.S. military uses. Matter of fact, we have former military doctors that work for us, and we go back to the same vendors and buy the same equipment that the military uses. It's light, portable, but state-of-the-art, very high-tech. And so we're there in New York, and we're going to try to do as the best we can in this 68-bed facility to care for the sick that are brought to us. And so we're up and running this afternoon. And we're looking forward to the first patients being brought to us. These will probably be full sometime within probably before nightfall. If that's the case, it is. And we'll just do what we can. We'll treat everybody the same. And we're going to show love, compassion. And more importantly, we want people to know that Jesus Christ is the reason we're there. And we go in his name.
Franklin, I'm really glad you brought that up, and it's because there has been shockingly some blowback, and RawStory.com is very upset that you guys are here to help people who are sick. State Senator Brad Hoyleman put out a statement saying that calling you a notorious anti-gay bigot, and saying that you have to promise to treat every patient with dignity and respect. I mean, it's really repulsive, but this is what he's saying, and I want to give you a chance to respond to this really outrageous press release.
Well, first of all, we don't discriminate against anybody. We do treat everybody the same. Our doors are open for all New Yorkers, regardless of their race, their ethnicity, sexual preference, whatever the case may be. We treat everybody the same. Now, we are evangelical Christians, and we hire Christian men and women to work in our hospitals. We're there in Jesus' name, and that's just who we are. We don't compromise on those issues. But the care, we're going to give the best health care that we possibly can to those that are sick. And it's our prayer that everybody that comes into that hospital will walk out of that hospital. I saw something, Todd, maybe you read this too, is in the news this past week, where a woman was very distraught because her husband died, and she could not be in the hospital with him. And that she said, "My husband died alone." And for many people, that is the case. They've lost loved ones, and they have died alone. But I can tell you right now, if anyone does perish in our facility, they're not going to die alone. Our doctors and nurses are going to surround them and pray for them and hold their hand till they take their last breath. They will not die alone. Mm-hmm. I can promise you that. But we're going to give the best health care we can. It's our prayer that everybody that comes into our hospital be walking out of that hospital healed as a result of the care and the assistance and the prayers of our staff. So, Todd, you know, in today's world we live in, there's always got to be somebody's got to throw politics or their own agendas into, right, into trying to help people. And we need to put all those things aside, Todd. We need America to come together, work together, because this virus is a tsunami that's hit our shores, and it's killing Republicans, it's killing Democrats, it's killing independents, and we just need to say, forget the politics right now, what's the best for this country, and let's work together to save life. That's what's important.
Franklin, there's a headline on Drudge Report I want you to respond to. And again, I think this is a sign of encouragement. A majority of Americans are praying.
Say that again.
Americans are praying, so they're on their knees praying to God.
Amen. And we know that God will hear the prayer of one righteous person, so I hope there are many, many righteous people out there lifting their voices to God, asking for His help and His assistance. And you know, we need to, especially we need to be praying for the medical community in this country. They're overworked. They're just overtaxed right now. The nurses, the doctors. There's some people who just don't know how they're going to get their next breath. They're choking to death as a result of this virus. We need to pray for our healthcare workers, those that are sick, that God would just bring a healing to this land. And Todd, I think of the abortions that we committed in this country. I think of the sins of this nation. We need also to repent of our sins. And that's, you know, and I believe if we turn from our sins and call on the name of God, He just might hear us and forgive us our sins.
Amen. Well, I think it's a terrific thing you guys are doing, Franklin. And I know a lot of folks around the country are praying for you and for the volunteers and for the doctors and nurses working in that field hospital. And tell folks real quick, we've got about 30 seconds. Where can they go to get more information about Samaritan's Purse and help support the cause?
SamaritansPurse.org. You can go there if you want to make a donation. This is all privately funded. We're not funded by the government. This is privately funded, and we're there in Jesus' name. And if you'd like to be a part of it, go to SamaritansPurse.org.
Amazing. All right, Franklin, thank you. I know you're busy, and we'll be praying for you guys as you expect to receive the first patients later this evening.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, folks, there it is. And there's a way for you to help and to be a part of this effort, Samaritan's Purse. And we've been broadcasting a lot of their public service announcements over the past week or so now. Just alerting you to the great work they are doing, and it's an opportunity for you to be a part of this. And Franklin is right. This is not about politics, and that's what the mainstream media is trying to make this about. They're trying to make it about politics, trying to divide us. That's all they've been doing since President Trump was elected. And Franklin Graham made an excellent point here. The virus is killing Republicans and Democrats and independents. It doesn't care about political party. So let's just hope. Let's just hope. Can we do that? Can we just put aside the fear mongering and the hysteria and just focus on the issue at hand? And as Franklin Graham said, the promise he's making to the men and women of New York City, that heaven forbid your loved one passes away, but they're not going to be alone. There's going to be somebody there, someone who's a part of Samaritan's Purse, holding their hand, sitting there with loved ones. It's a powerful thing. We're going to post our entire interview with Franklin on our website, toddstearns.com. Go there, and we'll have it up in about a half an hour or so. Be sure to share that interview. Folks, it's been a crazy day. We're going to do this all over again tomorrow. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.